Hey, it's Craig and Steven from the podcast Meet Me at the Table. Both Steven and I started this podcast to meet people where they are.
You're about to listen to this segment called Everyone Has a Story, where we hear from the many people that have been silenced from the church.
This segment is to continue to meet people where they are and give people the opportunity to speak about why they left the church.
We are here to listen and look forward to hearing your story. We'll see you there. Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyone Has a Story. I am Steven Duanis. I'm here with Misty Seibert. And if you had not listened to the last episode, Misty was there to tell her story. We are doing another segment again of Everyone Has a Story. We have Lola Robbins here. So Lola Robbins, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Nice. I am Lola. Hello. Of Auntie Lola's What the Fuck Bible Stories and other things. I'm a co-host for the Messy Spirituality podcast, along with Jason Elam and Kyle Butler. I am from Birmingham, Alabama. I am a hairdresser and a makeup artist, and I'm also a kitchen witch, which, if none of you know what that is, it's just I spice with certain intentions. And I make a lot of weird altars for my friends from various
fantastic spices and
salts. Yeah. So I have two dogs, which we learned earlier as they were loud.
They ruined our first intro.
They tried to make an appearance of their own.
They did. And I told them, I was like, listen, not tonight. Don't embarrass me. I love not you, but tonight. Don't do this. Not like this. Not like this. So... yeah, they run my entire life, and I live with my best friend and my love, Andrew, and I am an advocate for body positivity. I've been in rehab for an eating disorder for about 10 years and PTSD therapy for like one-ish years. So that's just a little bit about me.
Sounds like a lot of personal growth in there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Therapy's the best.
amen to that. I feel like that's a segment right there, that therapy, it truly is the best. Again, as Lola had mentioned, she is a co-host of the Messy Spirituality podcast. So if you've not listened to this Messy Spirituality podcast, definitely pick it up. Find it on Spotify, wherever you listen to, because their last episode was phenomenal. Lola's segment of the Bible stories is great. So you should definitely listen to it. Just wanted to plug that out there. Well, you've told us a little bit about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the church? You know, maybe what denomination, how long ago, what was your involvement, so forth?
Yeah. And thank you for the plug.
Of course.
I grew up in the Church of Christ cult, which is very oppressive to women specifically. Really any minority group. If you're not white and a man, just fucking sit down and shut up. That's ultimately
sounds like a
the
place for me to go.
Yeah, it sounds real inviting. I grew up in Church of Christ for like 21 years. So I was pretty heavily indoctrinated. I was pretty heavily involved with my youth group, which that did serve me well, I'll say that. As a kid, that was really helpful, especially when I didn't have friends at my public school. But otherwise, I was just involved with a lot of, those like youth camps where there's a lot of like devotionals and altar calls and shit like that. Lots of that. I hope I'm not triggering you guys with altar calls.
No. Emotional manipulation.
Yes. Especially like preying on like teens who's, we're hormonal and like
vulnerable,
easily manipulated, vulnerable, of course. Yeah. So, in the Church of Christ, women are not allowed to take authority over a man. We weren't allowed to like teach or I know some churches have, you know, their worship teams and small groups, things of that nature, but we did not have that. And if you do encounter a Church of Christ that has that, it's most likely all led by men. So no women are doing any of the stuff on like the stage kind of thing. So you can teach kids and like make food and that's it. So
right. Learn how to serve men later in life because that's all absolutely. We're good for.
Yeah.
All the things a perfect wife does.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Proverbs 31 yeah. woman.
Hell yeah. Well, before we go on more on that, I would like to ask, because I know that there's probably some people that are listening and probably would like to know why altar calls in this instance, why we kind of all do agree with the statement that it is emotional manipulation. Either Misty or Lola, if you want to fill in why you would think that, because again, I think people might listen to that and be like, turned off, not listen to this episode because I don't agree with that. So why would you say that it is emotional manipulation?
You're the guest, Lola. What's your thoughts?
Should I go
on that?
First? Okay. I guess I find it to be manipulation because obviously there's a certain demographic that the sermon is pointed towards. When you're looking for a heavy, what's it called? I guess just a heavy reaction to the altar call when you're really wanting a lot of people to come forward, especially young people. You kind of play on the things that are flawed in them that they, that they're already self-aware of. Like the fact that sometimes you're not a good friend. Like when you're a teenager, you're an asshole. I don't care how you slice it. Even me, like everyone thinks like, oh, she was so nice. No, I was a fucking asshole. Everybody was. And it's the way it's how it is. I mean, it's normal. Yeah.
We all have them and we all are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And that important in your life because you're learning so much. And it's just, it's a lot of growth there. So when you play on those weaknesses of kids that are still very vulnerable and really want to please their parents and the church, and they want to be like some of these church leaders, it's just, it's not really fair to put them in that position. To tell them, hey, you're super bad and you should come up here and say how you're going to dedicate your life to this and you're never going to masturbate and you're never going to smoke pot and all these things that are just unrealistic and unhealthy at the end of the day. That's what I think.
I think for me, I can pin it to, I can remember, maybe not so much the altar calls, but I can pin it to this, if sitting in a congregation and hearing at the end of every damn service, who wants to become a Christian? Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, don't look up. And then 5 minutes pass and they're still doing this. And it's, I was told by God, I know that one of you are going to profess your Christianity today, and then still wait another minute. I do feel God, at least there's one. Oh, there's two. And then I look up, I'm like, no one's raising their hand. This is emotional manipulation when you continuously are making people feel like, hey, God's telling me that there's going to be someone out there. So you kind of feel like, okay, maybe he's talking to me. That's my my kind of sense. I know definitely in the youth group setting, there's a lot of that. I didn't really experience that in the youth group that I attended. But from my experience of listening to people and from seeing it in clips on YouTube and attending other youth groups, but the youth group that I was dedicated at, I didn't see that as much. Misty, what about you? I know we're kind of going on a tangent, but what about you? Why would you say it's emotional manipulation?
Yeah, I think, you know, teenagers especially are already learning who they are and who they want to be, and they don't know what that path is going to look like. And so for somebody in a place of authority, as they've been told, to gets up there and basically shames them for feeling some sort of way that every teenager in that audience feels, whether it's, like Lola said, not necessarily being a great friend or, you know, having sexual thoughts or feelings, and then guilting that teenager into you know, professing some long-term commitment to not have those thoughts that are natural is it's unhealthy and it's undue, you know, stress on a developing brain and a developing teenager. I just, it's especially in a, like a camp setting where you've got the emotions that come along with music and the lights and the production that goes behind all of it. And, you know, it's hard not to be swept up in that. But then you go home and it's like, well, did I make a lifelong commitment? Was I feeling the Holy Spirit, or did I just really like that third refrain of that song? You know, am I really going to go to hell if I have sexual thoughts about the person sitting next to me? You know, it's just the whole thing.
And we know,
so cringy to me.
Yeah. And we know what the next youth group, maybe not the next one, but the following after that, what the sermon is about. It's about, did you all forget how close you guys were to God during that time while you guys were gone? But I know that this is kind of a tangent, but I wanted to, I know since we opened that can of worms of saying it's emotional manipulation, that there will be people that are going to say, like, what do you mean emotional manipulation? That's not right. So I wanted to kind of cover the basis of why we each thought that.
But think about the peer pressure too, especially with teenagers who, if, you know, if Sally next to me stands up and professes her love for Christ and her confession that, yes, I'm a sinner, as we all are, so what difference does it make? But whatever, she's going to move forward on a different path. You know, like you said, the pastor or somebody's up there saying, anybody else, anybody else? And there's a need to feel included. And there's a need to be with your friends.
Me too. Me too. You know.
Yeah. Because they
no one wants to be left behind. And also, I mean, you don't want to be left behind, and it's just a fear-based tactic. So, like the whole altar call thing, it doesn't, fear-based tactics don't work long-term. That's why when you come back to the next sermon and they're like, guys, you weren't putting in the work this last week. Right. What happened? Like, where did your passion go? Like it went somewhere because this is not love-based, you stupid motherfucker. Like,
I was totally scared. Totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, the only person that really in my life has made me not want to be left behind is Kirk Cameron. But that's about the only person in my life who's maybe not want to be left behind. Sorry, I had to throw that out there, though. I mean, you
somebody's
said left behind.
Somebody's got to cut that. Whoever edits this, y'all got to cut that. Poor Steven.
No, that's perfect. That was a good one. That was a good one. Well, I think we could move on from here unless – yeah, Kirk Cameron needs all the shout outs, I guess. Misty, if you want to take it over from here, I'll just stop.
Of course. So after this, growing up in the church, you have left the church at some point, I assume? What kind of triggered that exit from a group church setting?
Yeah. So I got married when I was 19 to a guy that also was part of the Church of Christ his whole life, and it did not go well. There was a lot of emotional abuse and sexual abuse that occurred within our marriage, and I tried to seek out help through the church to kind of like mend all these problems in our marriage, because I was thinking, like, I'm the woman, and like, it's my responsibility to put him on the right track. And everyone's telling me, like, you need to pray more. You need to be a better wife. You need to cater to his every whim. You need to lead him to Jesus. And so with all that on my shoulders, plus, I mean, like, I was a full-time student working full-time. Like, I have a lot going on, and I'm only 19. Like, that's a lot. I'm just a kid. The church kind of told me, like, it doesn't matter that he forces you to have sex. It doesn't matter that these things are happening. And this is what marriage is. And either deal with it, or you can get out and never get remarried again, unless you want to send yourself to hell and that other person that you decide to remarry.
Wow. That's,
and I just thought that wasn't quite fair.
You don't say. That's insane. So who did you go to? Did you go to other women in the church, or did you go to the you know, the everybody leadership? I'm just curious, really. Just anybody that would listen at that point?
Pretty much. I approached like leaders in the church that were men first, mm-hmm. and they were kind of like, eh, that's just what marriage is, honey. You should have figured out what you were signing up for. And then I sought out women in the church that were divorced and mm-hmm. women that were still married, like to just kind of get their perspective on it. But they all told me the same thing, like, you can't divorce him unless you have like physically caught him in the act of cheating, kind of thing. Okay. Otherwise,
that's exactly what the Bible says. Like, the Bible says, if he does this, it's okay. You're cleared. You're going to heaven. But if he yeah. rapes you, or if he physically assaults you, or if he does this or does this to you, you can't do anything to protect yourself. You're going to hell. But if he cheats on you, it's okay. You can go to heaven.
Yeah.
I remember reading that one.
Yeah.
For that's, sure. That's Jesus just... definitely said that.
Oh, yeah, that's sure. that's in red. That's in red letters.
Sounds in stone that's somewhere.
Red sure letters. Yeah.
Sorry. Go on.
So did you leave the
that
church?
That prompted me to start asking questions. I didn't leave the church then. Now I was rejected by my current congregation because I divorced my husband. Regardless of the situation, I decided I needed to get out right then and there because he was trying to get me pregnant at the time and I did not want that, but he didn't care. So I was like, I need to get out before I get pregnant and things get worse.
Right,
so
right.
I ended up divorcing him. And then I started asking more questions, obviously. And I started dating another guy. And when the church found out I was dating someone else, they were like, okay, this is a no-go. You can find somewhere else to go to church. This is enough.
Wow.
So.
No, let me ask you, that's at the same church that you were attending? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they're like a mile from my house right now. Like that church that I grew up at my whole life. Yeah. They're just right down the street. I could literally go in there on a Sunday morning and be like, just grab What's the mic up? And be like, no, listen, hell isn't real. Bye.
But peace out, guys.
Yeah. So,
did you lose a lot of friends and people you had grown up with during this process?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yeah. No. Did you lose a lot of friends and people that you had clearly grown up with during this whole process? Or did you have anybody?
Yeah.
That...
I mean, my whole sense of community was just gone. My biological family on my mother's side also. That I was close to that is involved in that church, they also, majority of them rejected me. So I didn't have family, and then I didn't have my church community anymore. I did have a few friends that had already left the church, and they were like, fuck it, like, come hang out with us. They don't matter. So they had already kind of deconstructed at that point.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just curious how that whole process affected your faith, like, overall.
Well, you know, the thing with Christianity oftentimes is, like, the harder your life is, the more honorable it's supposed to be. Kind of like Job, like the Job effect kind of thing.
Right.
So I was thinking to myself, God gives his strongest soldiers the hardest battles, like some kind of bullshit like that is right? what I was kind of tracking, which I mean, it was a survival thing. I totally get why I thought that way, because I mean, I would have just spiraled had I not tried to think in a more positive something. Way.
Right.
Yeah. I needed something to grasp onto. And so that was the thought. But I did feel abandoned by God. And I remember actually praying. I was like, you know, I held up my end of the bargain. What the fuck is this? Like, right? I was a good wife. I did everything I could. And I just kept thinking, this isn't fair. And I don't think that Jesus would die for this. I don't think Jesus died for this. And that was where it kind of it started to kind of make sense to me. Like, you're right, Jesus didn't die for this. Like, there's a reason right. that you're thinking this. That's an accurate thought. And from there, that's when I encountered Jason Elam, and he kind of told me, like, hey, you're welcome here. Like, come sit at our table. Meet me at the table.
So, thanks for the plug right there. That's a good one.
No, yeah, like, they had room at this table for my grief and for my hurt. They had room. Mm-hmm. And I had never had room before. Like, this whole community of rejected people, like ex-pastors and former worship leaders, and they were all rejected, but they made this community that was safe and it was loving, and it's literally everything that Jesus talked about that was good. And I was like, yeah, I think this is what it was supposed to be all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been pondering this question a lot this week, and it kind of brings me to what you're saying right here. Like, so I kind of want to add, this is definitely not a question that you knew was coming. So if it's a struggle, I understand.
Oh, no.
But like, it's kind of what you're saying. Like, I'm going through something right now with someone. Misty knows the situation, and that I'm a little frustrated with, and I am someone that speaks my mind. And when I feel wronged, I have a pact within myself that if I feel like I'm being wronged, I'm going to at least call it out. At least talk. I'm not going to be a jerk about it, but I'm going to say, hey, I feel like this is wrong. Let's discuss this. It's just, that's the Enneagram. That's the Enneagram 8 in me. Like, I'm going to speak.
I was going to say, you're an 8, aren't you?
I'm an 8. So like, so the question that keeps coming to my mind is, what is church? So I want to ask you that. What is church?
Oh, that's unfair, Stephen. That's so heavy.
I know.
Actually, I feel like that's really easy to answer. I feel like that's the easiest question of all. What we're doing is church. Like, exactly. This right here, this is church. And like, me talking to the guy in the gas station, telling him to have a nice day and thanks so much, that's church.
Yeah. Yes, and because you feel good doing that.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, maybe not petting your dog. Your dog interrupted our intro. It's okay. Oh, it's okay.
My dog is God.
Okay. You can't spell dog backwards and say it's God. Oh. It's okay.
This is the hill that I will die on. First of all. So.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good answer.
It just makes me angry because you said that you found this community with Jason after the things that you had been through with the church. And it just is infuriating that if that initial community that you had grown up with embraced that same mindset, your journey would have looked a whole hell of a lot different. And you would have went through so much less.
Oh, yeah, I would have never left. Yeah, I would have never left. I would still be going every Sunday and Wednesday. Like, there would be no doubt that would still be my community if they had just even just given me like a little bit of space to share my side of the story.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But
just supported you and loved you couldn't. Through the process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, let's be honest. That was not a fart. That was my chair. I was hoping no one heard that, but
I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear that? All right. Well.
That's fine. You know what? This is good. This is church.
It's another soundbite.
This is church. Well, I mean, I will say that I was going to say that I thought you heard that, but okay. Everyone has a story, and this is where this right here. Trying to be serious. Let's get our serious faces on right now. This is where it's like true. Like, everyone has a story and everybody deserves to tell their story. Even if you don't agree. Let's say you don't like that Lola's saying a couple cuss words. Let's say you don't like that Steven's saying a couple cuss words. Missy's saying a couple cuss words. We all have a damn story and we deserve to say it. You deserve to at least give us the respect because you want respect to be able to hear our stories. And again, like Lola, like I'm enjoying the story and I before I was about to say why I enjoy, like I was excited for this episode. I will say this, like I've never once spoke to you over the phone or never once spoke to you at all. other than through messaging on Instagram and listening to your episode. The reason why I was so excited for this, and you can ask the group, I even said, I was like, I'm excited for this one, is because I feel like I know you. Just from your podcast, listening to your podcast, and just messaging you on Instagram, like you're that type of person that I feel like I already know you. And I'm enjoying hearing your story because I feel like I'm just, you're my friend and I'm having a discussion with you. And why is that? It's because this is what church is supposed to be. Sitting at the table mm-hmm. with people, having authentic discussions. You don't feel awkward when you're having authentic discussions with people.
Right.
You just don't. No. I mean, yeah. Maybe a little bit. Some awkward people you might feel a little awkward. But for the most part, if you're having authentic discussions with people, you don't usually feel awkward. Church, listen, this is what church is. And if you exactly. have not listened yeah. to, again, the Messy Spirituality last episode about money, that's a big topic. Go listen to that episode because it was so good. Sorry. Go on. I know that I took your thunder.
Keep plugging. I love it.
I'm going to. No, I really enjoyed that episode. I even got to work, didn't finish it, and I purposely sat in my chair at work to finish it because it was so good.
Yay.
But I don't remember what question we're in. I think we're still with Misty's questions.
So I got Misty, you. You're fine, Stephen. You go have another drink. We're good. I got you. We're going to hold space for Stephen for just a second here. So,
absolutely.
So after this exodus from church and you kind of finding out where you wanted to be a part of a community and found a community that was inviting, like obviously that is amazing and you've taken huge strides from there. But as for church in the literal sense of walking back into a building on Sunday mornings, would you ever find yourself in that position? And if so, what would it take to get there?
Fuck no. No way.
Fair. Totally
there's
fair.
No way you could totally ever fair. Get me back. Like, there's some Rumi quote that's like, why do you stay in prison when the door is wide open? And that's exactly what my spiritual journey looked like when I considered myself, when I called myself a Christian.
Yeah.
And the amount of freedom that I have felt and the confidence that I have gained in myself and who I am, it's unmatched. Like, it's literally, I never thought life could be this good. I never thought I could be so free and so loved and so whole all by myself. Like, I never thought I could feel that way. And
that's
so I
awesome.
Just,
that's awesome.
I never want to lose this. Wow.
Yeah, don't. Don't ever
yeah,
lose it. Don't ever
I
lose
feel
that
like
confidence.
I can connect with people a lot easier now too, that I'm more sure of myself and I'm not ashamed of my story and my roots anymore. Mm-hmm. I understand that being a Christian as a child and being indoctrinated, it was traumatizing and it was horrible, but it did serve me in some ways, as I said. So that church no longer serves me. The church no longer serves me. I'm still right. friends with Jesus. Like, we're pals, we're buds, we're chill. But it's just, I don't have to take communion every Sunday to be in your club. I don't have to read your yeah. book to be part yeah. of the club. I just don't. I've done it That's forever. Amazing. It didn't do me any good.
I love that for you so much. That is awesome. That makes me happy just being a part of that yeah. conversation with you. Wow.
Thank you.
No, that's awesome. I'm like, I'm a loss of words. Cause like, I think that's just beautiful. No, honestly, that's beautiful. It's so hard. And eventually I would love to do an episode with my wife, but being able to see my wife, in the kind of same situation of where the church kind of consumed her and like, that was her identity. And then finally, mm-hmm. when she found herself, she was confident. And like, that's where I feel like I like what you just said, like you're confident in yourself now. And like, that is so key in anything in life. Once you have confidence in yourself, like there's no stopping you.
It's a confident choice in not subjecting yourself to that fear and shame and guilt yeah. that's pushed so yeah. much.
And until yeah. you step away, or put yourself in the shoes of someone that did step away from the church, I'm sorry. The people that are inside the church, they won't ever see it. And I encourage someone today. I was challenging somebody with something. They're like, you're completely wrong. Why would you say that the church is a cult? I'm like, let's talk about this. And they're like, well, I think that Scientology is a cult. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Put yourself in a Scientologist's shoes. Don't you think they probably think Christianity is a cult? And they're like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay. Well, then you just did a good job of stepping yourself in the Scientologist's shoes. Step yourself in the shoes of someone that walked away from the church. Would you not say that they probably have cult-like tendencies? And their answer was yes. Okay. That's why I say the church is sometimes a cult. Because not saying that the church, not everybody in the church is following a cult. There's a lot of times cult-like tendencies. This is a major tangent.
Yeah, you're rambling.
I'm rambling. This is a good
one. No, this is so good. This is so good. Because I definitely agree, and I don't want anyone to hear this conversation and think, okay, every single church I could ever attend is a cult. Because, you know, sometimes some of the Highlands places, they are cults. And sometimes Church of Christ is. Sometimes Baptist and Catholic. Yes, it's possible you'll run into that. But it's also possible to just run into a loving, friendly community that's they're there to share their issues and how to combat that on the daily basis and how to be better people. How to change the world while we're here, to just make it a little bit better.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. They are out there. They are out there. And it's not like it's like, there's not even like a percentage, like this percentage is bad, this percentage is good. You know, I think that they are out there. I think, again, it's take yourself out of the shoes. Honestly, just take yourself out of the shoes and put yourself in the one sheep that's lost. Take yourself out of the 99. Put yourself in the 1% that's lost. For once, just put yourself in that 1% and feel how it feels to feel forgotten, not cared for, and et cetera. Like, just until I did that, 4 or 5 years ago, I was a complete opposite person. And so until I did this, and I know this is not my story, this is not everyone has a story, Stephen Duanis, but until I did that, like, I was such a one-sided person that only saw one way. Again, this is not everyone has a story, Stephen Duanis. Sorry, Lola, I'm taking your thunder.
No, but like Christianity kind of breeds that sometimes. That's completely valid. Christianity sometimes will breed the idea that if they're not just like you and don't walk exactly like you, they're not valid or they're not important or they need to change whatever's happening with them. But
especially American Christianity.
Oh, yeah, we're the worst. nobody join American evangelical shit. We're bad over here. We got it wrong. Maybe different in other places, but not here. It's not the vibe. It's not for me.
It's rough.
It's not for anyone. Rough. Yeah. It's rough. I don't know where I'm
going back and finding that community again has really got to be, you've got to be guarded. You've got to be on edge. You've got to still know that, that, you know, there's a chance that what you're looking at isn't coming to you at face value. So,
yeah.
And it's okay to seek community outside of a setting that's church or church-like. I mean, honestly, the community that I ran into with all of these, like, authors that write on deconstruction and former pastors and everything, like, they... My train just crashed and burned just like that. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
You need us
to help pick it up a little bit. You were just saying that, you know, my train just crashed and burned. Misty, pick us up.
Okay.
They're not going back to the church. Yeah.
Yeah. And finding that like-minded community, regardless of where you're meeting or how you're meeting or where you're at in your journey with Christ or just deconstruction, is still a community. And sometimes it feels so much more inviting and wholesome than walking into a church doors on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, as you said, you would never walk back into a church, but I would not even, like, I don't know if it's the right word or phrase to say, I beg to differ, but like, your church is in your podcast right now. Like, that's your community right now. Like, and you're doing a damn good job with it. Like, I really am enjoying that podcast right now with you three, just discussing and being vulnerable and being on, like, being so honest. So like, to me, as you said, like, this right here is church. Like, this really is church. Like,
I don't need to cry right now. Bible, I don't need this. I don't need to cry.
But please, I'm trying emotional manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
This is emotional manipulation. It's working. I got this down.
Okay, the altar call, commence altar call. Here I come. Here I come.
We are providing church right now. So will you please bow your head? Just kidding. Sorry. But no, I mean, again, like, this is church. And again, I don't know if saying beg to differ is the right words, but, like, you know, I agree. Like, I myself don't ever see myself walking into a church doors right now. Virtual is where it's at, and I'm being fed. This right here is feeding me.
That's a great transition to our last question. So if there was one thing you could say to the idea of traditional church, what would it be?
To the idea of it or to the church?
Well, either or. Both? Yes.
If I could say something to the church, I would say, I forgive you. And to the idea of church, like the traditional church setting, I would say, it's just a money system now. That's all it's become. It's become a business, unfortunately, that is not taxable. And we should just dismantle it. We should just start over. We should just meet back in houses and outside and go for long walks together and cry together. And we should not be putting on our best clothes for this. And nobody, I don't believe anybody should be paid to preach or paid to lead worship or anything like that. I think if you make a career out of church, you should probably reassess the red letters. Just food for thought.
Yeah, that's really good.
I don't know if it's good, but
it's honest.
It boils down to the fact that the church as a whole is a business. And if you are depending on the business to pay your bills, then your motivations aren't the same.
Yep. Lola, thank you so much for joining us. This was a fun episode to do. I enjoyed speaking with you. I enjoyed hearing your story. So thank you so much for telling it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I also just want to say this whole space that you've created, like, you hyped up my podcast a lot, but I have thought for a long time before ever interacting with you over social media, as soon as I came across your podcast and your content, I thought, meet me at the table. First of all, it's such an inviting title. And then you giving space for all these different people to tell their story is so important. This is like the most important work I think anyone could ever do. And this is gospel. Like, what you're doing, this is gospel. So I just want to thank you for giving me space and everybody else. This is a long ass table and I'm really happy I got to sit at it. So
it's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. Yes. And if we rechanged that audio adrenaline song, it would say it's a big, big table, but not for you and you, because that's what the evangelicals should be singing. But yeah. I'm going to say it actually means with lots and lots of room. But no, seriously, thank you so much. I wanted my story to be heard. So again, this is why I wanted to do this. So thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.